Good afternoon, Little Saigon. Good afternoon, Seattle and other places out there. Good afternoon, Midwest. It is March the 3rd, if you can believe it. It's Wednesday, March the 3rd, 2021, right around 4:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I'm talking with my good friend, who I haven't spoken with in a while on a podcast, but I have been in contact with, my friend AJ from Florida. How you doing, AJ?
Doing well, Dan. Thank you. How are you?
You know, it's funny. In the last couple days, and I don't want to talk about it too much because I'm afraid I'll jinx it, but in the last couple days, I've had a couple positive things kind of happen that is maybe accidentally tilted my perspective slightly in the positive column. I don't want to, like, you know, send out emails saying, hey, the Swallows are returning to Capistrano. I don't want to go there, but I think I may have some good news. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Do you want to keep it under wraps for now, or do you want to give a little details on some of the
I want to keep it under wraps because I don't want to jinx it. I'm kind of like, if I talk about it, my basic...
Understood.
You know what
Understood.
I mean? Like, you ever think if you talk about something before it's really a thing, that it'll just disappear or something? That sounds weird and irrational, but...
No,
I don't want to talk
about
it too much.
I have my own little superstitions or idiosyncrasies, whatever they call them, that I abide by, so I completely understand. But I've had my own, and I also will choose not to speak of them because they're sort of in flux. But good things coming, even from the crocodile, weirdly enough, good things have come from them. So I don't know what to make of it all, but... It's very interesting times, and I feel it's very transitional. Something is shifting, and it's going slowly, very slowly. It's not happening overnight, like a big boom or anything, but there's a different phase we're moving into, and coming off the Trump into the Biden, where Biden, I agree with everything you've stated. He's probably got the cockroaches up there ran the show from the CIA laboratory, and I looked up, he's given four or five speeches where Trump was up there five times a day when he was the president. So it's very bizarre. And popcorn, you talked to.
You mean corn pop?
Corn pop.
Well, now you know the story of corn pop.
I know now. Thank you. I had to know about it. With the chain. Can you imagine 22-year-old Joe Biden with the chain? I was laughing last night.
I don't even know what the fuck what's a swimming pool security guard? Okay, I know what a swimming... I know what a... You know what I mean? Like, I know what a lifeguard is, right? But
yes.
What the fuck is a swimming pool security guard?
He just breaks off some random chain that he has with him. I don't know. Well, I get maybe they're bouncing memberships or something back in the 70s for a dollar. It was a dollar for a month to go to the pool at the New Jersey Community Center, but he had to bust balls and keep them out with his chain. I don't know.
Well, it happened in 1962, okay?
Oh, excuse me. I was 8 years too.
Well, that's okay.
After,
I mean,
later.
But captured it.
And then the cherry on top is that, oh, the NAACP is going to back it up. It's just such a bad story.
It's a really bad story that actually has a really gross angle to it, because I'm wondering, it's like the way it's written, it's like they were competing over the boys. It's like, well, what boys? The boys at the pool? That's kind of gross, isn't it?
That was the funniest part of your dissection of the fiction they put out there was that they were fighting over them. Yes, they probably were.
I just don't know, dude. I don't know.
Fighting over them. Yeah, there's not much you can do with it, but just laugh, and especially when you add your angles to it. But they were, yeah. And who believes this stuff? That's what I want. But then I look out my window, and 90% of people are still wearing a face covering at the stores, but not amongst ourselves. I've had a ton of interactions peer to peer, and these same people that would, I'm jumping topics here, but these same people that would go to the store and have the mask on. When they're with me one-on-one, don't wear it. Because I'm doing a lot of like the tree trimming, and I'm trying to branch out into other things with plumbing. And I welded someone's fence today and got that all patched up and working again. And nobody wears a mask around me, but then I know because of the numbers they have to be wearing them at the store. So it's the go along to get along, which we've covered before. But that's how things are in Florida, which is one of our topics.
Florida, and man. It's chill.
It's chill. I'm sorry. Just overall, though, it's chill because I don't wear a mask anywhere but to my kid's school, which is a public school. Sorry, Jim. I'll say that again. It's a wife thing. It's family dynamic. It's very...
I understand, dude.
It's a thing. But doing my best with it, and the kids don't believe in the coronavirus for a second, so there's no fear there. But I wear my welding mask to the school. This is a show of sort of to buck against the system a bit. And the kids, the little kids love it. They think I'm a Mandalorian or something. And otherwise, though, no mask anywhere, and there's no pressure. Nobody says anything to you. You don't feel any weird energy. So it's really nice because I did go to some Democrat places on a few vacations, and it was a nightmare. So I only have the utmost condolences for what you have to deal with, the bullshit you have to deal with in a communist hellhole like Seattle.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say, man. It's kind of like seeing these eagles showing up more and more. Uh-huh. Jim said, well, maybe they're after, like, carrion, you know, like dead bodies. And I was thinking, maybe these mask wearers are just dropping dead and the bald eagles are just swooping in and getting some lunch, man, you know?
With the double mask, which I have not seen in Florida. No double masking yet.
Yeah, but I've seen people run with double masks, dude.
I've heard you say that. It blows my mind.
Well, it is
health conscious.
But that's the thing, dude. You care. I mean, I treat my body like a temple that's owned by hookers. But you treat your body. I shouldn't say that. Hookers would treat it nicer. I treat my body like a temple that's owned by gamblers. And you think about your health in a way that I don't, and that's good. And that's not good or bad. That's good. And you know as well as I do that reducing airflow is one of the worst things you can do, especially during exercise.
Dan, I don't know how these people do it because I like to be wrapped up when I'm asleep, like sort of like a womb thing or whatever. So I just have my feet tucked in and wrapped all around, like I'm in a cocoon. But if I try to put my covers over my head, even just the sheet, I can't do that because I feel like I can't breathe. So how is that? I don't know what they do. I had one incident where I put on an actual face mask, and it was for my wife's grandfather's funeral. And I had it on for about 5 minutes in the church, which was, you know, that we could do 3 hours on that, which we'll just set aside. But I had to take it off because I couldn't feel like I was breathing. So I don't know how people are running around. I don't know if they're different species or something, because it definitely cuts off your inflow. And then you think about the back channel coming, you're breathing out, and the CO2, the recycle aspect of it. So it's, Dan, it's a twilight zone. You got to call, I forget his name, but he wrote probably this episode at some point.
Well, you know, I do think it's a Tide Pod challenge.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
How many masks will you wear? How many masks will you wear, AJ? How many will you put on?
Yeah, and then you said put the Gorilla Glue in, or what else did you add with it?
Well, I don't know. I kind of think someone's going to glue a mask to their face at some point. I mean, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they should JB weld it, see how that works out for them. It's like a twilight zone, but then also there's these glimmers of hope within it. Like, as you have brought up a little bit earlier, how you had some positive things in the works, and you'll be in my thoughts that this comes to fruition because you deserve it. And I feel like good people, maybe there's, and not to get into karma or anything, because I'm not a Buddhist whatsoever, but we have been through a lot, those that have kept to our beliefs and our faith, and perhaps there's something coming back around for us in a weird way that we couldn't have seen, because God does work in mysterious ways.
Here's my optimistic interpretation. It's okay to move around on topic. So let's talk about Texas. Yeah. Let's talk about Texas and Mississippi. Okay.
Okay.
Here is my kind of optimistic interpretation. 6 years ago, when I was sitting down over lunch with some friends of mine, I said the most likely best case scenario was a kind of Soviet style soft collapse. The empire goes away and maybe we get back some of that freedom we gave away for the empire. That would be great. It'd still be hard, AJ. Don't get me wrong. There's a bill that's going to get paid no matter what we do, and it's going to be hard, and we can't pretend it's not there. So there's going to be pain. It's a question of how much. The thing about the Texas situation is that I don't really know what to believe there. I want to put it into the positive category, and for now I'm going to do that. And here's an angle on that. I think the governors are owned, but I also think that they live in a state. You know, he lives in Texas ostensibly. He's there. And there are probably people, you know, an echelon below him in terms of power and money who are probably pressuring him to stop this nonsense. My guess is there's a lot of people that have been duped. And well, they have been duped, but they don't. There are people who are beginning to realize they've been duped, okay? They're transitioning to the point of realizing that they were lied to and they were conned. And so it's possible, this is my positive spin, AJ, it's possible that the Texas scenario reflects a first step towards breaking down the part of our system that is really imprisoning us and keeping us from being a free country. It's possible. That's what I'll throw out there.
Yes, and when I read the Texas thing, I thought, hey, maybe they're going to move this back off the direction they were taking it. And I agree with you that there have to be people that are not all bought and paid for underneath that are pressuring, because it's been a year. How long? I still go to my kid's school and I have to put on the thing and all the little kids have masks on and I say to myself, how much longer will this go on? So I'm not the only one. And if those that are, they went along with it in the beginning, for example, I have a neighbor, the one I built the fire stove pool heater for. He's a doctor, and for the first 2 weeks he went along with it. He wore the mask, and then he did some research, and we really bonded over the fact that we both think the COVID is not what they say it is. And he has even has a sign, I should take a picture and send it to you, on his front lawn saying this is a mask-free zone and you don't have to have one on here, it's unconstitutional. And he was very inspiring to me to hear someone in the medical profession come out and say this, but yet he still has a job because he's smart enough to sort of walk the wire, because his wife is stay at home, he's got four kids, he's not dumb, he's not going to go shoot himself in the foot and get fired. So he's been able to navigate that, but he did wear the mask for the first 2 weeks, and he's a smart guy, so he picked up on it that this is not what they say it is. And he's doing the best he can to help people where he can and not over-prescribe things that shouldn't be prescribed and get people out of the nonsense in his own way. So other people may also be, not as quickly as 2 weeks, coming to those senses and, like in Texas, pressuring the governor. Like who the governors, yeah, they all got to be bought and paid for. But people underneath them who they report to, who they have to keep happy, could be putting some pressure. I agree with you, Dan.
It's possible. I'm trying to leave out the option for hope that there are people at various levels in our society. They may not believe in freedom the way that you and I do, but they do recognize that we were supposed to be a free republic at some point. And so I hold out hope that those people are still there. I know it's naive, and I also know it's a far-flung hope, and I also know that it's ridiculous on a certain level. It's not logical. But yeah, I look at the Texas and the Mississippi thing, and I think maybe this is a hopeful sign, you know? But the other side is this, and here I'm going to have to be, you know, Dark Dan again, Danny Darko. But the other possibility is that this is a psych. You know, like when you were a kid, you'd play that game, psych! You know, hey, you want this candy bar? Psych! And you just pull it away right when they're going to grab for the candy bar. You pull
Lucy.
It away.
Yeah, Lucy and the football.
Yeah, Lucy and the football. Yeah. And this could be a Lucy and the football bullshit, dude. It could be. I don't really know. It's too early to say. What I do think is true is that the agenda of COVID, of all these psyops, has been a kind of suicide agenda. It's bad. It's hurting people. It's killing people. It's bad. There is no positive side to what they've done. There is no positive interpretation. The nicest thing you could possibly say is that it was a bunch of stupid people doing stupid shit all at once. But I don't really think that's plausible. I think that this was a planned thing. And for the most part, AJ, the only thing I'm certain of right now is they're trying to scare the fuck out of people. But when you actually dig into the real scare monkeys, there's not a ton there. It's kind of like BLM. You know, they set fire to a couple Katrina trailers. They tip over a garbage can. But as far as like the construction in my neighborhood, it has only increased since the commie riots last summer. Quote unquote sarcastic quotes, right? So, dude, I don't know. I feel like we're being lied to every fucking day. For example, is it okay if we slightly switch topics or kind of switch topics here?
Yeah.
Dr. fucking Seuss. Okay? This was never a fucking riddle. This was never a mystery. There was no fucking Da Vinci Code bullshit. People have known for decades that, yes, Dr. Seuss, for a period of his life, did cartoons that a reasonable person would call racist. He did cartoons, I guess, back in the 20s and 30s. I've seen them. I saw them a long time ago. They're terrible. And yes, he did propaganda, specifically the examples of propaganda he drew as a cartoonist depicting Japanese people were kind of racist. The fact is, the war between the United States and Japan during World War II was a really racist war. It's something we should just be honest about, okay? It was really racist. There was a lot of that directed at the Japanese people, a lot of that directed at Japanese Americans. And so the whole Dr. Seuss is racist thing, I gotta say, AJ, and I think I'm, you know, people who listen to my podcast are probably pissed off at me because I've said it already earlier today in a podcast, and I'll probably say it to Jim tomorrow. But it seems like a scrape the bottom of the barrel psyop.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't have those exact words, but I agree with you. Is they're looking for fodder to put out there to give people distraction of what's going on because the coronavirus, they can see. People are not dropping dead. So, oh, you know, BLM, that didn't work because people are not racist. I'm not saying that racists don't exist, but we are not a racist society. I live in Florida and in Jacksonville, Florida, and it's a good, healthy mix of black and white, and everybody gets along perfectly fine. Sure, I hear little things there here and there, but nobody's overtly racist. They're going to treat someone. In fact, it actually goes, I've seen people go out of their way demonstrate they're not racist in various manners. So to take the Black Lives Matter, okay, that didn't work. So now we got to hit Dr. Seuss up. That's pretty pathetic, which means they're running out of bullets in their gun, to agree with your point.
Yeah, it seems like that. And I would argue, to be fair, there's a positive and negative interpretation of them running out of bullets. The positive interpretation is that they're running out of bullets. The negative interpretation is that they've mostly been trying to run out the clock in that kind of football metaphor sense, you know, that sports metaphor. When I look at what's been going on, especially the last year and a half, but you could argue that some of this nonsense was kicked off 5 or 6 years ago. When I look at what's been going on, it all looks designed to keep people incapacitated from doing anything that could significantly help them, okay? For example, I think people should buy precious metals. Not paper gold, not paper silver. I have been saying for years that eventually, if you're an optimist, you should buy precious metals. This is definitely true. If you're a fucking optimist, you should be buying physical silver and gold. Even though it's been going up, it's going to go up a lot more if you're an optimist, okay? If you're a pessimist, focus on food, water, and shelter, period, okay? But when you look at the thing like the crypto thing, that's a distraction in my opinion. You know, I'm not saying all crypto is bad. I'm not saying there's no future, but it seems like another kind of distraction that they created. They've created distractions. They've created fear situations, traumas. Nothing gets resolved. You get data dumps about terrible things that powerful people do. Nothing gets resolved, AJ.
No, nobody goes to jail. No one gets arrested. Hillary, you know, whatever that was, 4 years. And I agree with you on the distraction. They're just trying to, okay, what can we feed them now? And it does feel like they're getting to the bottom of their well, which is a good thing. I try to be optimistic, even though I would fall on the food, water, shelter side of things, because you never know. This is what I wanted to ask you, Dan. If they are running off the clock, we would have to reflect that off of the supply chain, which in Florida, where I live, seems very healthy still.
Yeah. And I got to say, I went to the store today. I bought some stuff. Prices have gone up, but they haven't gone up as much as I would have expected by now. And, you know, they managed to do something. When I was first thinking about this stuff a couple years ago, AJ, they ended up managing to do something I didn't quite expect. And that is they achieved global austerity, again, by using a make-believe virus and a lot of other trauma monkeys. But they managed to completely suppress the demand of the lower half of the pyramid while basically allowing the upper half to fill in the gaps of failed investments, derivative implosions, credit default swap problems, you name it. They managed to pull off global austerity. So yeah, they managed to keep demand under control. And at the same time, they've destroyed a lot of small businesses, and a lot of people killed themselves, and a lot of millions, if not hundreds of millions, if not billions of lives are being destroyed. So yes, they've managed to keep the food at the grocery store. But they've just taken one problem, they didn't really solve it, they just moved it someplace else. And that's only going to work for so long. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Dan, I really like this. So they have tempered the exuberance of society. For example, my wife works for a TD Bank and Human Resources. They would send her on business trips for fucking bullshit all the time. You know, that's an airplane, rent a car, hotel room, all the waste going on there. Okay, that's gone. And they've also done other things, like you said, with the lower half to put a cap on things. So at the same time, they've been able to keep appearances up at the grocery store and the hardware store. And price inflation's definitely gone up, for sure, but not dramatically. So is it like a runaway train that they've got a stop block in front of that's about to blow up? Or, I don't know, Dan, that's where I'm with you 100% on what you just said, but is it going to be like a discontinuity where it's just going to blow off at some point where they can't stop the train?
Well, I mean, if you ask me, we're in the great discontinuity. And if the question is, will it be another discontinuous kind of thing? I think it will. I think when the supply chain fails, because of the kind of supply chain we have, it's going to be fast. It's not going to be a slow degradation, in my opinion. It's going to be rapid. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think I'm going to be. This isn't really free enterprise, dude. The thing is, in a free society, you can't predict future prices. But I've been reading all these op-eds and articles about supply chain people, you know, warning us there'll be higher prices. Well, in a free society, that's not how things work. So you have to kind of see this as kind of a Stalinist command economy problem. And as such, when things fail, we're not going to know about it till it's too late. That's how that shit works in the command economy. We won't know. We'll go to the grocery store this week and there'll be food. And then next week, there'll be almost nothing. That's probably how it's going to happen.
So in that situation, you're a much, 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 much well-read historian than I am. But the people essentially are the ones moving the products out. But a lot of the products come from China, except for I don't even know where the food comes from.
Well, the food supply chain, the food supply chain is still kind of mainly Western Hemisphere and mainly domestic. And so, you know, we still get food from other places, but the main part of our food still, I think, comes from this country, you know.
So it's not as if Bill Gates and Joe Biden and popcorn are at, you know, milking the cows and pushing the grain out. So it's the people have that power still to move product this, let me articulate this better. They, how would they stop the grain mills? Because they're not down there getting their hands dirty with them. And that's what's most important, is the food and the water. And if that's flowing right now, how could they possibly stop that when Joe Blows, myself included, are there operating behind the wheel?
Well, I mean, they currently stop stuff by simply destroying people's livelihoods.
Mm-hmm.
Like, currently, the way they're managing this is on the demand side, not the supply side. So they're basically saying, oh, you know, you can't do this and you can't do that and all. I mean, essentially, they've decimated the service economy because of what they've done.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Very much so.
So by doing that, they've taken a lot of demand that would have been there and they've taken away. So that takes pressure off supply. As far as like when it runs out or how it keeps going, dude, your guess is as good as mine. I thought by this time we would already be in mega food inflation and probably food shortages. So I am kind of amazed, even with the global austerity, I'm sort of amazed the wheels haven't come off. But the other thing is this, dude, we don't really know how bad it is anywhere else in the world. We don't. What we know is our situation. We're told how good or bad it is someplace else, but a lot of that information is bogus, dude. So it's like, it's entirely plausible that much of the planet is facing a food crisis right now, but we're a wealthy society and we have a good piece of property, so it hasn't hit here yet. And they're not going to talk about it. I mean, I really don't think they're going to report on... There was some news last summer about food riots in Africa, but they've really stopped talking about that stuff. So I don't know, dude. I really don't know. The food thing, I am thankful every day. You know, my friend Mike, and you may have heard him on some podcasts. He's a good guy.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes.
Mike mentions this. He mentions that going to the grocery store is like a miracle. I went to Costco with my brother last week. He bought me a bunch of food. And, dude, I got four bags of bacon, or four, not bags, four of those packages of bacon for like $8. And one of those packages would have been $9 at the QFC. So I go to the Costco and I can get four times as much. And everything was like that. Everything was that much cheaper. It's a miracle. As long as it keeps working, it's a miracle. But I just don't know, dude. I don't know if I believe our current system is flexible enough to deal with the damage that our quote-unquote leadership, rulership has done. They've done a lot of damage, dude. They've broken a lot of things. They've broken a lot of things that are tangible and intangible. They've broken a lot of sort of basic community agreements. I'm not talking about social contract. I'm talking about basic human behaviors. They've violated customary ways in which people deal with each other. And then on top of that, they've simply destroyed businesses. So I don't know how this fixes itself, and I don't know how much longer snow day can last. You know what I mean?
Yeah, very much so. But I first wanted to say I enjoy hearing you and Seattle Mike on your podcast on the prophecies and other biblical things and talking about life. And he has a very interesting job, I believe, with in the airline engineering, that's all I'll say. But on top of that, I wanted to agree with that I as well enjoy going to the grocery store and getting the food and am thankful for it, that I don't have any land, so I can just get this food that provides nutrition, whatever is left in it that Monsanto hasn't taken out, but also going to the Home Depot and getting a 3/8 to a 1/2 inch pipe, copper pipe fitting. I couldn't make that myself. It's impossible. So there's a lot of resources that they have available for not a whole lot of money that if it all blew up, you know, we'd be back almost not the Stone Age, but it would be some Amish stuff going on and we'd have to figure things out. That was part of my Infinite Gray Nothing topic 6 on the outline. I don't want to jump around too much.
No, we can do that.
It's a balance. Dan, it's just, it's dichotomy balance of, okay, I don't like the government. I have disdain for them, what they've done, but then also they're regulating these things that allow me to go to the Home Depot and get the pipe fitting. So if that all breaks down, the pipe fitting's gone, and I don't want to go live out in the woods. So
no, and I thing is, dude, I think that if we had a free economy, you would always have as many pipe fittings as you needed. I think that that's how that would work. What we've had is a really crooked economy, and a lot of the failures of the system get externalized to other countries, to other societies, other places. So we haven't faced a lot of that here yet. What 2020 was, you know, the roosters coming home. You know what I mean?
Yes. Oh, Dan, that's because I thought about, because I wanted to ask you the question I asked you about the pipe fittings, and you answered, and I agree with you. And it my answer was, we've been the pampered little puppy who gets to go to Home Depot and buy a 90-cent pipe fitting. But where did that pipe fitting come from? It came from China. So this all globalization system works. They've got the slaves. You've done a lot about China and the organ donation, which that put a... Ooh, I'll never forget that moment you told me about what they did to the organ donors over there. Yeah. God bless them. The people that's so bad. And it's like we're the pampered puppies that have the opportunity, and it's on the backs of those people. And so, but what if we didn't have the backs of the people? I don't know if we'd get the 98-cent pipe fitting.
Yeah, but you know, I read this essay from Charles Hugh Smith, and he makes a really good point that I try to make to people. If we lived in a free world, chances are we would buy and sell, for example, ovens that instead of going bad every couple of years, lasted 20 or 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And chances are more of the skills we would need to fix things like appliances or cars would be more distributed. The thing about this neo-Stalinist type planned economy is that our ability to be independent and self-reliant is taken away. That is why I say neo-Stalinist, because that's the kind of shit that Stalin did. It wasn't just that it was a command economy, but that Stalin and other people like him during the Soviet period made deliberate decisions to weaken localities, to make them weaker. Well, that's exactly what they've been doing to us, dude. And the only thing I would say is this. I believe that people in this country are pretty smart and pretty capable if you give them the chance and you take away the fear monkeys. If you take away the fear monkeys, I think that things could change very rapidly in a positive way. And if all of a sudden we need to come up with our own copper pipe fittings in a free America, I think you'd have them within a week.
Wow, that's really good about the locality, because I've seen that so much of how they've just taken, they just like leg kicked us out from our own abilities, of what were our potentialities, and how we're not able to do anything because they rendered us helpless with the education system and the resources that we have. And you're absolutely right, because that's, I went to one of the jobs today, and they had a fence that needed to be fixed up, and I went to the hardware store first, and they didn't have the proper fitting, so I just welded it. And I should have done that from the beginning. But if people have that mentality all the time and have the resources, it's a $200 welder. It's not a lot of money. And we're always in that mindset of, okay, let's darn our socks versus trying to buy a new pair from China. I agree with you 100%. In a week, we would have things flushed out, and we wouldn't need as many pipe fittings, because we'd be trying to fix things or go about in a different way, because you don't need that pipe fitting for said application. That's a very good point, Dan.
Well, if we lived in a free country, and I think it would take I think it would take more than a week, just because I think that it's like I said earlier, there's a bill that's going to be paid. No matter what happens at this point, there are consequences. And the consequences have been put off for so long that it's going to be painful. But it doesn't have to be the end of the world. And in that difficulty, there's a lot of opportunity, okay? If these things, these monstrosities of the state-planned economy start to collapse, that means there's more space for people like you and people like me to actually start a real business, to actually live and survive and do things. So, yeah, it's going to be... I don't think there's an easy way through this. I think right now it feels like, you know, maybe we've had a pause in all the madness, maybe. But whatever happens, there are consequences that are going to be faced. And I don't think there's going to be, a no consequence situation. I think it's going to probably be brutal for a while. That's just how I see it. But there's a big difference between difficult and impossible, don't you think?
Yeah, and I would go back to our faith in God, that we've had the trust and have not wavered or given into the crocodile, even though it's caused a lot of thorns in our side. And I feel like we will be rewarded, of course, eternally, but here on earth as well, because he sees what we do and knows that we have taken that leap out, you know, over the edge. When other people say, oh, you're an idiot, you're crazy, you shouldn't be doing that. But we do it anyways, even to our own detriment, because we know it's the right thing to do. And those little cracks in the system that we've talked about previously, that we're going to fill into, could be great opportunities for us to have abundance. And, you know, the first will be last and the last will be first, comes to mind.
Yeah. I think that that's a positive way to look at what is facing us, that it, in the best case scenario, it'll be difficult and there will be challenges, but there's also going to be an opportunity for regrowth and rebirth and creation. You know, there are positive things that happen. When things that are meant to die are allowed to break down, other things are allowed to live. That's the way life is supposed to work. And the problem with these planned economies and these central bank economies is they don't really allow the things that should die to die. They just sort of keep them alive with make-believe money. They should just simply let things go, basically let things default. I'm sorry, but that's what's supposed to happen, okay? If, you know, if a bill cannot be paid, no amount of torture is going to pay that bill, okay, ever. All you're going to do is add more pain. So I kind of just think, you know, yeah, there are consequences. Yes, it'll be painful. But there is that potential scenario where, yes, within a year, probably, the basic things like, you know, pipe fittings, I think within a year, if this country could commit to freedom, a lot of those things wouldn't really be issues. And you know what? Maybe I'm too optimistic. Maybe I'm thinking too much that way. But there's a lot of changes in the way that industry works today. 3D printers are having a big impact upon all forms of manufacturing. And so it's hard to say, dude. I don't know. I don't think that there's a way through this where, you know, we turn off the stall in the system and next week the free system starts working. I don't think it's going to happen like that.
That's my, I'm not concerned, but.
Well, but the thing is, I don't think it's avoidable. Yeah. The only thing we can do, okay, let me put it this way. It might be postponable. At this point, I don't know how, but let's just pretend it is. It's not avoidable, right? They can postpone it maybe a little bit longer. But isn't that going to be worse to go through?
I
don't know.
And I go back to just who's pulling the levers. And people like us are.
People like us are dealing with the consequences all the time.
But they're still pulling the levers, though.
To keep things working. But, dude, in a crooked command economy, just pulling levers only works for so long.
But,
you know?
But Dan, does the levers, of course you have to have your input, your inputs, which that the China thing I think is an issue for America. We rely on China too much. And, but I agree with you. We could figure things out. We have a ton of natural resources here. So the food's the most important. I mean, the fittings can go off to the side for a while, but you could make do if you got the food.
Yeah.
And we got the farmers and all that. You know, Monsanto's tried to do their thing, but I agree with you, Dan. It wouldn't be overnight, but it's there.
Well, I don't know what else to say. It's the most optimistic scenario I have.
Yeah.
And that is
that's all I can be, Dan. I'm sorry to cut you off.
The only optimistic scenario I can possibly conceive of without going insane is something like a soft style imperial collapse like what happened to the Soviet Union. That's the nicest version of the future I can come up with. Everything else is just terrible. The infinite gray nothing is terrible because it means we're heading towards super tyranny, super police state. You know, I saw the Seattle police drone come by my building again today. And it hovers outside the building like it's looking inside the window. So even if the glass is polarized, and even if they really can't see inside, it's still kind of intimidation to have the fucking thing come around. But the chances are they can see inside. So you got these fucking drones coming. And it's just, dude, that's a shitty future. That's a depressing future. That's a future of a slow, cruel death of humanity.
Very, very Orwellian. And we've got some helicopters around here that just all the time, they fly around. They don't have insignia on them. I don't know what they're doing. But all the time we got helicopters. And I completely understand. I spit at them all the time. Mm-hmm. And then one time, Dan, this is a side note, but there's a blue and white one. I looked it up. They said it was a surveying company or something, you know, a bunch of bullshit. And this helicopter, oh, it was so low. It was so low to the ground. I want to almost say it was 300 feet above me. And I started waving at it because it was doing circles around my cul-de-sac. And it was the second time in like 2 months it had come around. Now I recognized it. And I said, hey, I made hand motions like, come down here, come down here. I live on a cul-de-sac. I said, put it down, put it down. Made hand motions. These people, I mean, they're over my thing. They're circling me, Dan. And they get even lower, maybe 250 feet. And then they hit an air pocket or something and it bounced them. And so then they flew off. I just kind of laughed and, again, I spit at them. But what the fuck is going on with all the surveillance? I mean, you got the drones in Seattle, but, Dan, we have a helicopter come over my house every 30 minutes. I live in the suburbs of South Jacksonville. There's no reason for helicopters anywhere.
Well, so that's the optimistic interpretation. And this is the perspective Jim has had fairly consistently since we first started talking, that they're trying to engineer a social collapse, potentially. But the other interpretation is, even if they're doing that, that they're going to lose control of it. And maybe they already have. I mean, what they're doing is over the top and ridiculous, dude. But here's the question that we have to ask ourselves. Do we really believe enough Americans would turn on other Americans if push gets to shove? I'm not talking about LARPing, dude. I'm talking about people going to your door with rifles and injectors and saying, let us vaccinate your kids or we're taking your kids away. I'm not sure Americans are ready for that. I don't think we're ready to allow it, despite all the propaganda. It's kind of like you'll read an article that says there's a shortage of the vaccine, but do you ever ask yourself, maybe that's bullshit? Like, maybe they're telling you there's a shortage or telling you there's a line of people or telling you that these two women lied to get the vaccine. They're telling you about this bullshit because they want you to believe that people want the vaccine. But when I talk to people, people just look at me and shake their fucking heads and say, no, we don't want the poison. No, we don't want the operating system that Moderna or Bill Gates says. Listen, Bill Gates has never created a functional operating system on his own. Any operating system he ever found, good or bad, he found, he stole, he bought. The bottom line is, a Bill Gates certification for an operating system, yeah, okay, Windows Millennium. I'll inject that into my arm and then get a blue screen. Yeah. This is the thing. I think, dude, that's what's happening. People are getting blue screens. That's not good, except for the bald eagles. You get your shot. You get your blue screen. The bald eagle gets a blue plate special. And nobody has to be the wiser because the bald eagles take care of that body. Between the bald eagles, the crows, the cancer rats, and the rabid squirrels, that body's taken care of, okay? It's like the airplane in Lord of War, you know. You land it, and the next day all the parts are gone. So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. There's a lot there.
A lot to unpack.
A lot to unpack. The first thing I would say is that the artificial deficit of the vaccine is true, because I live in St. John's County, which is 250,000 people. That's how they do things in Florida. It's all by county. So we have 250,000 people. Well, Dan, in December, they started giving out the vaccine in St. John's County with 250,000 people. And they had it at, they had it offered at one location, and it was a drive up. Guess how many lanes there were for the drive through, drive up, whatever, get your arm shot vaccine for 250,000 motherfucking people.
I bet it was
one,
like
a gosh, I bet it was, darn lane.
Yeah.
One lane.
Yeah.
What is the news put on there? The news is, the local news, there's an overwhelming demand for the vaccine. There was one lane, one window of, think about a drive through with one person working the counter at McDonald's and 250,000 people potentially wanting a hamburger, even if it's a shitty hamburger. Of course there's going to be a line for it, you motherfuckers. So yeah, they're doing that all over the place and creating artificial scarcity like they've always done in our society.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. I also read an article recently that said that, that Starbucks might try to like partner with one of these health companies and distribute.
Oh, no.
The...
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's. Was that on The Onion? That wasn't real, was it?
No, no. It was a legit. You can research it yourself, but it was a legit article that came up, okay?
Starbucks.
In fact, you know what? Just for fucks and giggles, I'm gonna go to the Googleator. I'm going to ask Schmidt, Eric Schmidt, the one answer. I'll put Starbucks vaccine. Let's see, vaccine roll. Starbucks joins effort to help speed vaccine. Yeah, there it is, under stories.starbucks. Headline, offering to serve. Starbucks joins effort to help speed COVID-19 vaccination delivery, by Linda Dahlstrom, published January 19th, 2021. Starbucks, this is a legit thing. Starbucks is going to help. Yeah, dude, think about it. That's
wow.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, and how? Oh,
you thought it was The Onion.
Yeah, and what kind of system would need a
okay,
coffee shop?
Okay, dude, you're gonna get a double.
That's so serious.
Okay, this is what's gonna happen. Okay, this is the year 2032. Okay, so put on your time traveling helmet. You've entered the year 2032. You're hanging out with your wife, and let's just say for some bizarre reason, you guys have another kid, and she has her contractions. She's in labor. And so what do? Do you go to the hospital in 2032? No. You head to Starbucks. And Starbucks does the delivery. And then Starbucks gives you your triple, double, mochiato vaccination dosages. Like all of it. It's like, you know, you just do it all one shot. Deliver the baby. Get your mochas, get your triple shots. They're already handing out shots, so that's what they'll do, dude. I'm telling you. It's a whole business model. And then they'll sell artisanal...
So dystopian that Starbucks is going to help out with a medical vaccine. How fucked out are people that they would...
Will you be surprised in the year 2034 when you go through a Starbucks window and one of the sandwiches, when the breakfast sandwich options will say placenta?
Oh, damn. Oh, you know, that crosses the line. Almost, that's almost as bad as the other day when you said Beans would be down with the Lady Gaga bullshit.
Oh,
and I disagree. He would not have been. He would not be. Beans is a stand-up sauce.
Beans has a little bit of class. It isn't much. He has a little bit of class. And for those listeners who don't know Beans is my sister's French bulldog. If you go to my YouTube channel, you'll see a list that says Beans, but there's tons of Beans videos. One of the most successful videos is him making love to a pillow, and it's probably the most successful video on my YouTube channel. Boy, that says everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know,
he's
dude.
A good dog.
Let's have one more topic.
Okay.
And then we'll put an end to this before it's... And I didn't mean... Listen, I didn't mean to gross you out about a placenta breakfast sandwich. It's just... I had a friend in high school. No, actually, it was in grade school. A friend who mentioned that to me when I was a kid, and it grossed me out. He said that people, and I'm not saying this is a real thing, but that people, there are some people who save placentas and eat them.
I've heard that. Yeah. I don't know where, but I've heard that before.
I'm not saying you should do this. I'm also not saying you shouldn't do it. It's not my business what you do with any of that. That's your business, not my business. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I didn't. With my two kids, they're the placentas. The government took them.
So ugh, they always take the placenta. And then probably the government takes the placentas and that little bit they snip off when they give you, you know, your fucking, whatchamacallit, circumcision.
Yeah, that's something else.
They take all that material and then they sell it to Hollywood to keep the actors and actresses young.
Yeah.
There you go.
Adrenochrome.
Yeah, adrenochrome. That's his own business. And you'll, and guess what? 10 years from now, you'll get that from Starbucks too. Can I have a shot of adrenochrome?
Yeah, I'll put in my coffee. A little caramel and adrenochrome. Yeah, good.
That's what the infinite gray nothing would look like in 10 years.
Yes, it would. Yes. Yeah, it would be.
You'd have your placenta sandwich and your shot of adrenochrome. Your wife just gave birth at Starbucks. Your kid just got 500 shots and 3 chips. Everyone's covered in tumors and boils, and yeah, it's terrible. And we're all just wearing cod pieces made of barbed wire. It's terrible.
Concertina wire.
Oh boy, that's a little bit sharp. No, last topic is okay. I am of the opinion, and I was of the opinion months ago when I thought that, you know, Biden was going to win. That Biden would not win for very long. Like, my initial opinion was, and this is going back to December, November, is that Biden was basically a magic carpet. I started calling him the magic carpet last summer. Like, he's essentially the Kamala Harris magic carpet. There's no intention for him to survive. But what I've realized in recent weeks is that maybe the plan is to do with, you know, that whole 25th Amendment thing, where they declare him incapacitated. And what do you think about that?
Yes, I heard your theory.
Well, what do you think about
the 25th Amendment?
Because there's
Well, I think the COVID is a great play for them to say he died of COVID to try to reinforce their narrative.
Actually,
he's definitely a magic carpet.
That's the one I kind of thought when I was thinking about Hunter Biden and his funeral oration. I imagined his dad dying of COVID. And it's, you know what, they could end up giving him the COVID. But what I am convinced of is he's not going to last because they're publicizing how incompetent he is. And that's not what they've done throughout presidential history. Throughout presidential history, they've done the opposite. Like, there's reason to believe that some Alzheimer's showed up late in the Reagan administration, okay? But they didn't make that public. They didn't put that out there, really. They kind of covered that up. During the Great Depression, they did a good job of covering up the fact that FDR was paralyzed, that he couldn't walk. A lot of people, believe it or not, did not know he couldn't walk. Why? Because the press people, the public relations people, did a really good job of hiding it. So what's confusing to me, or strange, is that they're almost showcasing how incompetent the president is.
I agree. They are definitely doing that. Not necessarily a counter, but just an interjection to that point would be the 2012 congressional swearing-in of the senators. They demonstrate that he is playing the role of a pedophile with the little Asian girl and all that bullshit. And they put that out there. And they could have censored that if they wanted to.
Yeah.
And yet he's now the president. And that was 8 years ago.
But here's the thing, though. I don't think they care. And the really scary thing is, and it's kind of scary, but I think a lot of Americans don't really give a shit if he's evil in the pedophile way. And this is really sad, but listen, if you understood the politics of Seattle, this would make sense if you understood where I live. What I think bothers them is that he might be so crazy, he might do something crazy. Like, that would bother them.
Oh, okay.
It wouldn't really bother them that, yeah, he does something evil.
Some fucked up people.
But that's kind of how they are, dude.
My sister-in-law lives out there. I get it. I've met her. So, wow, that's a good contraposition.
They don't want him to look incompetent. He could be incompetent. He probably is.
He can't be incompetent, but he can be a pedophile.
Yeah, well, look at the system.
I don't have an answer to that, dude. Because that blows my logic scheme. So.
Well, I just, listen, if they keep showing him the way they're showing him, I don't see how he stays in office without some group of people, probably mainly Democrats, saying he's no longer in control of his faculties. He's obviously out of control of his faculties. He's obviously not aware of where he's at and what he's doing. To me, that seems obvious at this point. So it could be he gets to COVID sometime in the next month or so, and that's what happens. And guess what? That'll mean one thing. And it could be that they just 25th Amendment his ass, dude. And you get some big speech where, you know, Dr. Jill Biden gives a very rousing, sad, poignant speech about how much she loves her husband, but how, you know, it's got to be President Harris now. Sounds crazy. People say, but Dan, how's Harris going to get two terms? She could have three terms this way. You know, I think people are way overestimating how long you can keep something like Biden's incompetence under wraps and secret. I just don't think it can work. It's not that I think he has power. And let's get through that issue too. It's not that I think the president has any real power. It's more like you have to at least maintain the illusion. Does that make sense, dude?
Oh yeah. I agree with you.
And if the emperor is obviously crazy, but yet things still kind of work, then people might come to the logical conclusion that the emperor doesn't control anything. And that somebody else is doing all that work.
Yes. And how they wouldn't have come to that conclusion yet. But they're also wearing a mask at the grocery store. So
yeah.
I gotta stop assuming things about their.
Well, it's weird.
Health.
It's so, weird, dude.
But he's a magic carpet of some form. That's all. I think those are all great points, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out, not looking for it in the sense of, but just having it come to a conclusion. But he's, they're going to transition him somehow.
Or his whole purpose is just to be a trauma monkey and to just keep doing incompetent things and scaring the fuck out of people.
Yeah, and there's a whole Q people who...
I don't even keep up with the Q nonsense, dude.
I don't either, but I just know that there's a lot of people I've interacted with in person who are either Q or very close to Q, and now that that's over, is this just to incite them and create vitriol, or like they want them to go out and protest, but they're not because they're red-blood Americans who... kind of like Justin, who played that role in the show you guys did, the Roadline Commissioner Report. And not in a bad way either, but they're just, you know, they're good old boys or gals who just love America, and God bless them, they do. And they don't want to do any harm to it. And are they just trying to incite them with the Joe Biden thing?
It could be, and that's where I'm at. I am still stuck on the, we've been exposed to multiple... mind control operations. I'm convinced of that. I am convinced that the COVID is the most successful military psychological operation in human history. I am dead convinced of that. And there has been a robbery in the last year. There's been massive theft. And if all this is to cover up that, that's not great, but it's better than worst case scenarios. But yeah, this stuff is getting so stupid. Dr. Seuss bullshit, dude. Next thing up is going to be Charles Schultz. And then after that, it's going to be the fucking Amish, dude. It'd be like, oh, the Amish are the most racist people. Let's cancel the Amish. And then what? Send some Hellfire missiles to, like, Amish communities in Pennsylvania and shit or someplace? Or fucking Ohio? I don't know.
They're domestic terrorists.
Yeah, well, dude, we are at about an hour, and I appreciate your time. I know that you told me you've got stuff going on, and you're a good dude, and you're a busy dude, and you're a dad, and I appreciate your, and I, like I said, I appreciate your time. I appreciate, you know, you talking to me. We like to catch up. Before we go, is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, I very much enjoyed talking with you, Dan, and I very much appreciate the podcast you put out. It is wonderful to hear your voice and your spirit and your soul.
Thanks, dude. And I am glad you're hanging in there, and hopefully one day we'll get a chance to meet in person, like I said.
Yes, perhaps. I'm envisioning you, myself, and Saddle Mike having a hamburger at whatever the best locale is out in Seattle.
Well, but it might be by that time a substitute meat product, okay? You never know. But yes, whatever the meat is that day. Whatever meat is good that day, you know?
Taco Gato.
Yeah, Taco Del Gato, right.
There's a lot of cats around the place.
Well,
no, it was great speaking with you, Dan, and I enjoyed being on the show. Thank you. It's always a pleasure, and I very much wish that we could meet up one day. It'd be great.
Well, I'm going to hold out hope because stranger things have happened, you know?
They have, but if not, definitely in the afterlife. Yep. That's what I say.
We'll see each other either here or in heaven or both, right?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Well, dude, have a great rest of your evening. Have fun with your family. Get some sleep and whatnot for your next big day of work this week. And for all the other listeners out there, thank you so much for listening, and have a great rest of your evening.